is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
We've been hunted. We are the hunter. We are the hunter. Anybody who wants to be out here is the hunter.
You're listening to the Sports King.
The wait is over. It's here now. It's game time. You know what it is.
Here's your host, Mean Gene the Sports Machine.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Kings NFL Weekly Countdown Show here on SB Nation Radio. I'm your host, Mean Gene, the Sports Machine. I'm here in our Houston studios with my producer, Gio Lopez. How you doing, Gio?
How's it going, Mean Gene?
Hey, man, I'm doing okay. I just want to thank everyone here at SB Nation Radio for taking the time to let me grieve over the loss of my friend, my co-host, Hot Rod Johnson. A few weeks ago, we said goodbye to Rod, and although it will be tough to continue, I know that he would want me to do so. We have put so much work into this show and this program, and that's what I am going to do. I'm going to continue this thing. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family, and Rod will always be a part of the Sports Kings. So just wanted to get that out there. Now, on that same note, I want to congratulate the Chicago Cubs for a spectacular World Series win over the Cleveland Indians on Wednesday night. Gio, you probably didn't know this. Rod Johnson was a huge Cubs fan, not a bandwagon fan, like some of these folks who just just came out of nowhere and just jumped on this wagon, and rightfully so. Anytime a team don't win a World Series in over 108 years, the wagon is going to get big, right?
Yep.
But Rod was a huge fan, and he put up with years of frustration, just like many Cubs fans have over the years. But they finally have a World Series championship after a 108-year drought. Congratulations to all the Cubs fans all over the country. So, interesting, Gio. I only saw two baseball games this year, and both of them were right here in Houston.
All right.
And one of them was against the Cubs.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so I got a chance to say that I saw the world champions. I mean, who would have ever thought? But the one thing I noticed, and me and Rod was here in town that weekend. You know, I had to remind him that the Cubs were in town that weekend.
No way.
No, because his wife was here and his kids was here. So yeah. he got a pass.
All right.
Because he had this honey-do list that he couldn't get out and do. He says, "Mean Gene, you go and represent, you know, blah, blah, blah." But anyway, so I did get a chance to see those guys. So man, what a game that was. So I would like to welcome all of you who are listening to this show on Sirius XM Radio Channel 93. How about that, man? Good stuff. So the Sports King Show is brought to you by ONFX.com. ONFX.com. November has arrived and the NFL season enters its second half. Man, does time fly. Here at the midpoint of the season, we have two teams with just one loss. That's the New England Patriots 7-1 and the Dallas Cowboys 6-1. Woo, three teams with two losses. The Denver Broncos 6-2, Oakland Raiders 6-2, and the Kansas City Chiefs 5-2. Ironically, all of those teams are in the AFC West. Go figure, okay? And how about this? The entire NFC East is the only division in football right now with a winning record. Cowboys 6-1, New York Giants 4-3, Philadelphia 4-3, Washington 4-3-1. I know, 4-3-1. Hey, here's the thing. Hey, a tie in the NFL doesn't necessarily hurt you, I guess. That was an ugly game last week.
That was.
27-27. I'm going to talk about that later. An ugly game that ended in a tie, but nevertheless, 4-3-1 is still a winning record. So I mean, it is what it is.
Guess what you expect coming into the season, thinking the Cowboys were only going to lose one game, and the AFC and the NFC is being so good.
You know what? I enjoy my trips to Houston because it gives me a chance to leave Dallas, where there are so many Cowboy fans, and when you're not a Cowboys fan. And I have to say this carefully because I do live there, right?
Yeah.
man, I tell you what, I am not going to hate on Dallas, nor would I ever, because these guys are doing some incredible stuff, and we'll talk about this later. They have a huge matchup today, and you might say, "Mean Gene, huge? Against the Cleveland Browns, huge?" No, it's going to be a pretty good game, and it's one of those games. Steve Mariucci on the NFL Network says it could be a trap game. I am right there with him because it really could be a trap game, because next week they play the Pittsburgh Steelers, a game that I will be watching at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh next week. So we'll talk about that later. So the first half of the season has been packed with thrilling comebacks and close finishes, but the excitement will only intensify as the playoff push begins. And there's still plenty of football to be played, so don't count teams out yet. Okay, how about this? Like the Titans at 4-4. Still have a chance in the AFC South. Gio, I know you like the Texans, but
yes,
don't count out the Titans at 4-4. And this DeMarco Murray guy, man, still showing that he's a good running back.
And out of nowhere.
He's the second leading rusher in the NFL. So, I mean, you know, for people that said he plays in a system, now he's showing people that he's actually a pretty good running back. And Chip Kelly, for whatever it's worth, whatever he did, we're going to talk about that guy later on in the show, too. You're talking about someone that knows how to kill a team. It's Chip Kelly and the San Francisco 49ers, who have lost six straight, by the way. And how about the first place Oakland Raiders, okay? Did I just say that?
Did you use time travel?
I think I just went back to 2002 when the last time the Raiders was first place in the AFC West. As a matter of fact, I went to that Super Bowl in San Diego where they played the Buccaneers. They just had like a rematch of that last week. Raiders got revenge, by the way, last week there in Tampa. Finally beat the Buccaneers, okay, when it really didn't count, but it was a moral victory. But, yeah, it is hard to believe that the Raiders are in first place, and Jack Del Rio is a hell of a coach, hell of a coach. Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs have won three in a row, but the San Diego Chargers are playing the best football but have nothing to show for it at the end of the day. So, you just have to go figure. I can't really put my finger on it over there in the AFC West, but how about this, folks? The NFL has played two overtime games that has ended in ties this season. Actually, back-to-back weeks, this has happened. It happened with the Cardinals and the Seahawks 2 weeks ago and last Sunday's Redskins-Bengals games we just talked about with that ugly 27-27 tie. Something has to be done, Gio, with this the NFL overtime rules. It's ridiculous.
I think they should play – they should adopt the college rules wherever you get the ball to either 40 or 20 yard line after the first 15 minute break. I don't like ties in regular season games.
I agree. And for years I used to say I didn't like the college rules because, man, this thing can go on and on and on. You put the ball to 25 and some, you know, but it's exciting. And I don't think the NFL should do something, you know, like that. But you got to have a winner, okay? And I understand last week over in London, I mean, come on, their brand of football, they used to ties.
Yeah.
That works over there, right? This doesn't work over here, right? And those guys over there last week, man, looking at that stuff, it was, anyway, they got to do something about this. So, I do believe that they will do something about this. But I will say this, too, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show, is that the referees, the officiating in that game last week with the Redskins and the Bengals was the worst I've seen this season. I'm thinking that the referees probably had jet lag or something because that whistle was in their mouth, but they didn't blow it. It was bad. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Had they made some calls in that game, who knows what would have happened. Maybe there wouldn't have been the tie. Maybe somebody would have won. But, you know, as a fan, I can say this. If the game was played in Cincinnati or if it was played in Washington, believe me, the crowds would have been, you know, throwing stuff out there. They probably would have had to escort the referees out of that place, but it was pretty bad. So Cam Newton actually went out and did a press conference and said, hey, you know what? I don't feel safe anymore. I don't feel protected. You know, something has to happen. So he actually scheduled a meeting with the commissioner, or the commissioner heard his call for help and says, you know what? We are going to talk about this. So in the next segment, I'm going to bring on Dustin Pfeiffer. Dustin covers the Carolina Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets out there, and he's a contributor to the show. We're going to actually talk about this and see if there's any credence to what Cam is saying. I mean, I tend to think that the guy has a little leg to stand on there when you look at some of these hits against him, and he is a big quarterback. Nevertheless, he is still a quarterback. And I kind of get it as an official. You see this guy, you don't know if he's going to run. You don't know if he's going to throw, you know, if he's going to stay in the pocket or come out the pocket. I get it. But still, man.
some of those hits. I mean, if Tom Brady was going to get hit like that, they would have thrown the flag.
See, and that's the comparison. But so anyway, folks, I tell you what. So stick around, folks. We got plenty to talk about. We're going to bring Dustin Pfeiffer up next. You are listening to the Sports Kings NFL Weekly Countdown Show here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Mean Gene the Sports Machine.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Kings NFL Weekly Countdown Show here on SB Nation Radio with Mean Gene. In the last segment, we were talking about poor officiating in the NFL lately, especially those games involving Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. Joining me here on our Sports Kings hotline is a regular on the show. He follows the Carolina Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets. He's a major contributor to the Sports Kings show here on SB Nation Radio. Please welcome to the show, Dustin Pfeiffer. How you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing good, Gene. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Dustin. And let me tell you something, Dustin. You introduced me to Cam, I remember, and I'm always telling this story because, you know, I know you get the scoop, man, because when you go down there in that press room, you don't sit in the back seat. You don't sit way in the back of the press. You right there front and center, and you right there looking at Cam and every word that coming, you know, that comes out of his mouth. So that press conference last week, Dustin, that he gave, and this was after a win, by the way, and where he put it out there on the line, and this guy was as serious as I've ever seen Cam Newton. And when he just simply said, "I don't feel safe anymore," Dustin, can you just explain what was Cam trying to tell everyone?
You know, exactly what he said, and a lot of people give Cam a lot of grief for his press conferences, how he acts sometimes after losses, you know, likes to mope a little bit, and I totally understand that. I've followed Cam his entire career since he's came to Carolina. I've been to almost every press conference at home that he's had, so I understand when people say sometimes that he doesn't handle the press conferences the right way, and that criticism is warranted. But this one here, I have his back 100%. I mean, when you go out there, and it's not about running. I want people to understand that. It's not about when he's running out of the pocket. He knows that he's a runner, and he's going to take big hits. But when you're in the pocket as a quarterback, you have to be protected by the rules of the NFL. And he is not getting that. I mean, if you look at it throughout the year, starting with the season opener in Denver, he took some shots to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week against Arizona, he takes a shot to the knees. And I honestly thought that he did something to his knee on that play. So he got very lucky not to be injured. So he's just telling everybody how he feels. And he wasn't whining about it. Like you said, it was after probably their biggest win of the season.
Right.
He just wants people to know that, hey, he should get the same rules. I mean, Tom Brady, people say that, oh, well, Tom Brady would never cry like that, never whine like that. They made a rule after Tom Brady about hitting people below the knee.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's just speaking his mind. And I know people are saying if he doesn't feel safe, he shouldn't come out and say it. But honestly, he's just telling people how he feels and how the rules should be called.
See, Dustin, now here's the thing. So, all right, so he made his point, and apparently it didn't fall on deaf ears, okay? Commissioner Goodell says, you know what, Cam? Hey, let's talk about this. We can have a discussion about this, and you know, we're going to see where it's going to go. But Dustin, let's put ourselves in the shoes of an official, okay? So the officials know these players, okay? And you know, these guys are almost like the Secret Service. You know, they're out there on the football field. You know, you can never interview officials. You're never going to see those guys on TV or radio or nothing like that. But they're out there calling the game. And I understand quarterbacks like Tom Brady. I understand quarterbacks like Cam. So, but are the officials wrong for knowing these guys' playing style? Because are they wrong for saying, well, I know Brady's going to stay in the pocket, so we're going to call this the way we see it? We know Cam is going to do a whole bunch of different things, and we're going to wait and see. I mean, are they wrong for calling the game that way?
Well, I think they're wrong, because I think you can't – I mean, I know players have different playing styles, but you can't basically judge a guy on different playing styles. I know it's harder to call sometimes with Cam because he does do a lot of dancing around, but you can't hold it against Cam Newton because he's a good running quarterback. If he decides to stand back in the pocket, he still needs to get that same protection. And that one on Sunday, he wasn't dancing around. It was a regular drop back. He never moved in or outside of the pocket, and he took a direct hit to the knees from Calais Campbell. And Calais Campbell even stood up, apologized, and after the game said, "Hey, that was an illegal hit. I wasn't trying to do that or go low," but he admitted it, and he got fined for it. And so if the player who made the hit knows it was that blatant, how can the official standing right there not make that call? And that's my biggest gripe with the NFL. They worry about people celebrating too much, getting flags for wearing different types of cleats, not having enough fun, but yet when it's time to protect players, which they like to talk about all the time, they don't protect them. They're too busy worried about finding people for dancing in the end zone, celebrating with the football, but they're not protecting their players. And that's not just with Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers, but you can look around the league and see that.
Dustin, you're on point, man, because I tell you what, and I just mentioned here earlier with Gio that in that Bengals Redskins game, you know, DeSean Jackson gets his bell rung in that game. And no flag, no nothing. You could clearly see the guy was knocked out. Helmet to helmet hit, right? And of all people, Vontaze Burfict comes over there and checks on Jackson to make sure he's okay because he knew that it was a bad hit. And here you go. You come back the next day, you get this, well, you know, maybe it was a bad hit. Maybe we should have did this and done that. So you're right, man. I you know, somehow, and I'm hoping, you know, when Cam Newton meets with the commissioner, I mean, something's got to be done, you know. You got this replay booth. You got this thing where you go and ask the expert and all of this stuff, all of this oversight here with officiating, and they still get it wrong, Dustin.
Exactly, and I want to be clear. Cam came into his press conference, and he started talking for the first few minutes about the game itself, about how much of a good win it was, how the defense played well, Jonathan Stewart played well. So he didn't start the press conferences with this. He was directly asked by somebody from the media. He tried to brush it off one time. Then they asked him again, and he decided to go into it. So it's not like he came directly into the press conference with an agenda to get that off his chest. It was just asked to him by a media reporter. But, Gene, I completely agree with you. How can the NFL make billions of dollars, supposedly be the top sport in the world, but they can't hire full-time officials? I think we need to have full-time officials.
Yeah, you're right.
We need to have people who are training through the offseason, in preseason, at the training camps, at practices, because this game is played so fast.
So fast.
They have to be there to continue to learn the rules and see what's going on. That and people wonder why the NFL ratings are down. This is one reason.
This is one reason. Folks, we're talking to Dustin Pfeiffer, contributor to the Sports Kings. And Dustin here with a little bit under 2 minutes here. Let's look at what's going to be happening tomorrow. Okay, you guys are 2-5 now, so you get another win there in the win column. You're taking on a Rams team who have lost 3 straight there. And I know the refs are going to be – all eyes will be on the refs in this game. So I want to go ahead and allow you the opportunity to go ahead and make this pick between the 2-5 Carolina Panthers at the 3-4 Los Angeles Rams. Who you got?
Oh, well, it's definitely going to be an interesting game. I mean, obviously, like you said, the refs are going to be a big factor. Cam's going to be going against another fast, brutal offense, defensive line with Aaron Donald, Robert Quinn. I mean, those guys can really get after the quarterback. Ryan Khalil, the Panther center, is questionable, so that will be a big thing to watch come game time tomorrow. But if the Panthers are going to get on a roll and somehow get this season turned around, this is the stretch they have to do it in. They made a good win against Arizona last week. The defensive line finally came to play. They had a season-high 8 sacks. So that is something they've been trying to do all season, is get pressure on the quarterback. So if that sparked something last week and that defense continues to play well, the offense has already kind of been clicking the last few games. You saw that in the New Orleans loss. I expect the Panthers to get a win on the road to go to 3-5. Then they go home for 2 straight home games against the Chiefs and the New Orleans Saints. So they got a chance, if they can win tomorrow, to maybe get something going and get this back to 5-5 before they hit on a brutal stretch, 2 straight weeks on the West Coast, in Seattle and in Oakland. So they need to get to 5-5 before that brutal stretch out west. And if they want to do it, it starts tomorrow. And I think this could be the time the Panthers get on a little run.
All right, Dustin Pfeiffer. Folks, you heard it. Dustin, hey, man, enjoy your trip. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on here. And we look forward to getting you back here before the season's over.
Thanks a lot, Gene. Looking forward to it.
All right, Dustin Pfeiffer, folks, we'll be right back here on Sports Kings SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Mean Gene the Sports Machine.
And we are back, folks. Once again, you're listening to the Sports Kings NFL Weekly Countdown Show with me, Gene the Sports Machine, here with my man, Gio. And here's the thing, Gio. I know you like the Texans, and you know what? Okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to say. Do you guys play this week?
No, we don't.
You don't? No. You know what? Because I'm getting ready to say that. That's why. Okay. Because I was going to give you a hard time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to thank Dustin Pfeiffer in our last segment for bringing the heat, man. Dustin is very passionate, as you heard, about Cam Newton and those Panthers.
You definitely pushed a button there.
I know I did, man. Hey, after we finished our conversation with Dustin, I had to check on him. You know, I said, Dustin, you might want to have a cocktail or something, man. You were fired up in that last segment. So anyway, thanks, Dustin, and have a safe trip there. Him and his wife celebrating their first year anniversary. So he made his pick, and I believe he's going with Carolina. I think I'm going to go with the Panthers as well to beat the Rams. I know Jeff Fisher is saying these wonderful things. He doesn't want to be 8-8 again with this Rams team, but Carolina's kind of pissed off. And it will be a game where the officiating will be heavily, heavily watched and under scrutiny. But I'm going to go with the Panthers. So what we got here? A few teams will have a bye this week, okay? And it's not a bad time to have a bye. Week 9 is not – it's the midpoint of the season. Arizona, Chicago, Cincinnati, Houston, New England, and Washington all have the week off. So that means we only have 12 games, including the Monday night game we'll talk about this morning. Week 9 got underway Thursday night in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. It was the Atlanta Falcons knocking off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 43-28. The Falcons have improved to 6-3. They are now in first place. They were already in first place in the NFC South Division, but they are taking a commanding lead. Tampa dropped to 3-5. I don't know. Every once in a while, you get a Thursday night game that's worth watching. That one was okay. I had Matty Ice as my starting quarterback in fantasy football.
You have
so
to.
I was pleased.
All the people that were supposed to go off pretty much went off. Julio Jones went off.
Julio, yes. I had both of them. You can't have one without the other. You can't have Matty Ice and not have Julio Jones. And normally I try to limit having more than, you know, two players on the same team.
Oh, yeah.
Certain combinations you got to have.
Like Big Ben and Antonio Brown.
And Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. When the healthy Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Not the laying on the ground holding his back Tony Romo.
No.
You can't throw the ball when you're laying on your back. So anyway, Atlanta. Atlanta is just up. I can't put. They play a good game, and then didn't the Chargers just steal one from them?
Yeah.
So I can't figure Atlanta out. But anyway, so let's go ahead and just start with the picks today. So first game, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens. Steelers 4-3. Ravens 3-4. Steelers still in first place in the AFC North, despite, you know, not having Big Ben. Although I am a little worried about the report that Big Ben is questionable. Big Ben should not be playing in this game. And I understand Steeler fans, Steeler Nation, I'm with you. This guy, you know, you get hurt the way he did. You coming back against Baltimore? Of all teams, this Baltimore hates you. They hate the Steelers. They hate Big Ben. They're not going to try. If he's coming out there with a bum knee, they're going to try to take this guy out. My take was to let Big Ben rest in November as long as he can. As much as I want to see him next week in Pittsburgh, I mean, you know, I'm not really going up there to see Landry Jones play.
No.
But, I mean, if that's what it is, that's what it is. You know, I know the Cowboys, Steelers, big-time rivalry, one of the best in the NFL. But if Big Ben is not going to play in that game, then that's fine. I mean, you lose nothing. It's not a conference game. You know, it's just a good Cowboys-Steelers matchup. This game is in Baltimore. You got to play them again. And I understand. I understand why they want Big Ben out there. But this is risky business. If Big Ben is playing, I got to pick the Steelers. Okay? Got to say Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Brown gets it done over the Ravens. So the next game, the Dallas Cowboys at the Cleveland Browns. So Cleveland Browns will win a game this year, folks. And I know Cowboys fans don't want to hear this. You just want to make sure that whoever they beat, nobody wants it to be their team. All right, Steve Mariucci says that he feels this is a trap game. He feels that the Cowboys could be looking ahead to Pittsburgh because that is a traditional, this is a historic game with Pittsburgh and Dallas next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's they play each other like leap year, you know, sometimes, like every 4 years, it seems like.
A lot of history.
A lot of history
in that matchup, yep.
So I could see that, but have you seen the Cleveland Browns play? I mean, come on. The Cowboys should go up there and take care of business, all right? For you gamblers in Las Vegas and those in Dallas and those who's hosting this show right now, the spread is, I believe, 8-7, whatever. Cleveland might play good, but they will not win this game, okay? So do not get and if they do, then we will have one hell of a show next week to talk about. But I don't see that happening, okay? I just don't see the Cowboys losing. Now, I will tell you about a little distraction that's going on in Dallas, and that is Dez Bryant is answering a question that the media asked about, you know, Romo practicing with this practice squad and throwing long passes. I mean, Dez Bryant likes Tony Romo. Tony Romo makes Dez Bryant's numbers look good.
Yep.
Dak Prescott don't really throw those long bombs.
That's why it's open.
You know, I mean, so I think that, hey, I can appreciate the Cowboys are rolling and looking good. Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let this kid play. I don't care if Tony Romo is a 10-plus on the health meter. You just let this kid keep doing what he's doing now. I mean, if Cleveland wins this game, then all hell will probably break loose in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
And we might see Tony Romo in Pittsburgh. But I just don't see that happening. The Cowboys are looking really good. You got to give them their props. They are playing good football, and you don't mess up something when it's good. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think the Cowboys should be safe. They will win this game. All right, the next game we have is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what? The Chiefs really need to keep pace with everything that's going on over there in the AFC West. They're on the 3-game winning streak. I think Nick Foles probably going to get the start in this game.
Yep.
Despite Jacksonville's woes, I think Bortles is playing pretty decent. And I probably only say that from a fantasy perspective. So the Chiefs are looking for their 10th consecutive win at home. Having said that, I'm going with the Chiefs. You're looking at me kind of funny, Gio.
I mean, it is Nick Foles.
But the Chiefs are at home, though. I mean,
yeah,
I just got to think they can get it done at home. The next game we have is the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins. You got the Dolphins coming off a bye week. They won at Buffalo 28-25 in Week 7. This guy, man, Jay Ajayi, oh, my goodness.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
You know. This three-headed monster of Tannehill, Ajayi, and Jarvis Landry might be too much for the Jets. Ajayi, one of four players in NFL history to rush for 200-plus yards in consecutive games. So this guy is getting it done. I'm going to go with the Dolphins to get this one done. Next game we have is Detroit at Minnesota. North Turner, oh, my goodness, don't know what happened there. Apparently, Vikings lose two in a row. And I don't know. It's a shocking resignation. But nevertheless, I'm thinking that the Vikings really need to get it turned up. So I'm going to go with the Vikings to win this game. And the next game we have is the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. You know what? Someone is going to be below 500 in the NFC East. And I think it's going to be the Eagles. The Giants are coming off a bye after playing over in London in Week 7. So I'm going to go with the Giants to get this game done. And the next one we have is the New Orleans Saints at the San Francisco 49ers. I just figured that, hey, you know what, Chip Kelly, at 1-6, you have to wonder how long this guy's going to be able to keep his job. I think come Black Monday in December, that's when they usually fire these coaches. I think Chip Kelly's probably seen his last team coach in the NFL. So I'm going to go with the Saints. Folks, got one more segment left here on the Sports Kings. Stick around. You're listening to Mean Gene here on the Sports Kings NFL Weekly Countdown Show.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Mean Gene the Sports Machine.
Okay, folks, it's the final segment of the Sports Kings NFL Weekly Countdown Show. I hope you have enjoyed it so far. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the show, you can always download the podcast from podcastarena.com. Click on SB Nation Radio, look for the Sports Kings logo, and download the show. Next week, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh for the Cowboys-Steelers game. I guess you can probably hear the excitement in my voice, okay? My first time ever going to Pittsburgh, Gio. I hope the weather is good. I can't deal with that snow and
it's
ice
November,
stuff. I think it's going to be in the 50s, 60s, so that should be pretty good. Me and my brother are going to go up there and try to have a good time. So I tell you what, we only got a couple of more games here, the show will be complete. And let's go ahead and look at the last couple of games here. How about the Indianapolis Colts at the Green Bay Packers? Aaron Rodgers is playing a whole lot better than what he was before. So, you know, he likes to come out there and say, relax, I got this. So, apparently, hey, he's getting it done. Even though they lost the nail-biter to Atlanta last week, that 33-32 loss.
It's a good team. Atlanta's a good team. So,
So it's acceptable. It's acceptable.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think the Packers are still looking good at 4-3. I don't know what to say about Indianapolis. You know, a few years ago, man, Andrew Luck and that team, it just looked like they were up on the rise. And for some reason, this guy stayed injured. And I know that him and his owner have been talking about him, you know, trying to stay healthy. But I got to go with the Packers to win this game. I just don't see how. I just can't see how the Packers are going to lose this game, especially at Lambeau. So the next game we have, how about this? It's the Tennessee Titans 4-4 at the San Diego Chargers 3-5. The Chargers just keep on grinding it out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, for some reason, you know, they're getting it done. We talked earlier off the air about DeMarco Murray, man. Here this guy is second in the NFL with 756 rushing yards, man. So I guess it's not so much the, you know, the offense of Dallas who said, hey, we got an offensive line that, you know, made DeMarco Murray looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Then Chip Kelly comes in, screws up everything in Philly. We don't hear nothing from DeMarco Murray. Then he gets traded on, and now it looks like this guy is running. He's a good running back.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought once he went to Tennessee, his career was going to tail off.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he has proven that he can actually be a good running back even at this stage of his career, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed with it. So I'm impressed. So I'm going to go with the Chargers, though. Having said all of that, I think the Chargers will find a way to get this win, and they really need it to stay, you know, in contention. I don't think at last place in the AFC West, it's a far outside chance for them to make the playoffs, but I do think the Chargers get the win. How about the Sunday night game? Man, the Oakland Raiders are on prime time. This is going to be a good game, folks. AFC West, you can ask any team, man. Playing in the black hole on a Sunday night, ooh, I'm glad Halloween was last week because this would be pretty scary if it was this week. The Denver Broncos 6-2 at the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders, for some reason, haven't been playing well at home. Okay, 5-0 on the road, but Trevor Siemian looking pretty good over the last couple of weeks. And something the Raiders are trying to do is that's get the first season sweep over the Broncos since 2010. They need this win at home. I'm going with the Oakland Raiders in this one, Gio.
Wow.
I just think, I mean, so much has been said about them winning on the road, and there's no way they're going to get prime time. This is prime time. Prime time, Sunday night, right? NBC, the black hole. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that NBC bus, they had to be careful where they park that thing, because that thing would come up missing, okay?
Yep, you get lost.
Yeah, they got to park it somewhere, because the black hole is something, is remarkable. So I'm going with the Raiders. Monday night game, folks, how about this? This is going to be a good one. The Buffalo Bills got to go all the way from Buffalo to Seattle. Man, that's got to be like a day and a half flight, right? So they are going to the 4-2-1 Seattle Seahawks, Buffalo Bills at 500. Last week, Seattle lose to the Saints 25-20. The Bills, believe it or not, folks, the Bills are 3-0 versus NFC West teams this season. Now, I don't know if that really means anything. But I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks to get this win. and get back on track. Seattle is a better team than what their record is indicating. And that nasty tie, man, it sucks. I'm sorry. It is what it is. So
I mean, they always turn it around the second half of the season. So
they usually do. So that is all of the picks that we have for Week 9 of the NFL. So real quick before we go, Cubs winning the World Series, right? All of the love on Facebook, social media, and, you know, I've sent my shout-outs and stuff. And I have a Facebook friend that normally everything I send out on Facebook, the guy says, hey, me and Gene, you're on point. I love it, like it, everything. But he wasn't feeling the Cubs, man. He disliked my post on congratulating the Cubs. I could not believe it. He said, Cubs suck. I don't like them. I never will. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked to even see that he said that. And I've been, like, puzzled this whole time wondering if I should unfriend him.
Oh, you have to. I mean, it's 108 years. If you don't have sympathy after 108 years, then something's wrong with you. Probably like a Browns fan or something. Well,
but he never said that he was for the Indians or anything. He just didn't like. He was not feeling the love, man. Everybody
wasn't feeling the Cubs, huh?
He wasn't feeling the Cubs, man. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. What do you have to do to just, I mean, this guy, maybe it was a bad day for him anyway. But anyway, he's still my friend for now, and I'm still just kind of taking a pause. So anyway. But anyway, folks, hope you enjoyed the show. And don't forget, you can download it on podcastarena.com. Gio, man, I want to thank you for helping me out there, you know.
No problem, man.
Helping a brother out, man. That just really makes a big difference here, folks. So anyway, next week, we're in Pittsburgh. So make sure you stick around. It should be an interesting week 10 of the National Football League. Enjoy your weekend. Me and Gene, Sports Kings out.